السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
We can start the class, go.
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Yesterday we started the chapter on فضل صلة الرحم. We read باب فضل صلة الرحم. And the first hadith was the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, which showed that no matter how the people in our families treat us, whether they treat us well or they are unkind to us, the individual still has a duty. The individual still has the duty to keep and maintain family ties with them. Whether they are kind to us or not. In fact, whether they direct goodness to us or deliberately direct evil to us, we still have the duty to keep family ties and maintain good dealings with them. And we mentioned yesterday that this is evidence that no one should say he is keeping away from his family for the simple fact that they are being unkind, they are being rude, they are being bad towards him. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, whoever is steadfast upon connecting family ties, no matter how the members of that family treat him, لا يزال معه من الله ظهير عليه. Allah will continue to provide him support from himself against them. لا يزال معه من الله ظهير عليه. Allah will continue to provide help and assistance against those people, for him against them, ما دام على ذلك, as long as that individual remains upon connecting family ties. The second hadith showed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created ar-Rahim, and he derived from his name ar-Rahman, the absolutely compassionate. He derived a name for ar-Rahim, the womb, and the ties of kinship from his name ar-Rahman. And he promises subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever connects family ties, he will connect such an individual. And that whoever breaks and disconnects family ties, he will break and disconnect that individual. These are two virtues of connecting family ties. The virtue in this second hadith is that the one who connects family ties will be connected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith is the hadith number 54 under the same chapter heading. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, Abu Abdullah, he has reported that hadith from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail. So he says, Haddathana Musa ibn Ismail, Qala Haddathana Abu Awana, An Uthman ibn Mughira, An Adil Ambas, Qala Dakhal, دخلت على عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال دخلت على عبد الله بن عمرو في الوهط يعني أرضا له بالطائف فقال عطف لنا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إصبعه فقال الرحم شجنة من الرحمن من يصلها يصله ومن يقطعها يقطعه لها لسان طلق زلق يوم القيامة. It says, حدثنا محمد بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا أبو عوانة عن عثمان بن المغيرة عن أبي العنبس قال: دخلت على عبد الله بن عمرو في الوهط، يعني أرض له بالطائف، فقال: عطف لنا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إصبعه فقال: الرحم شجنة من الرحمن، من يصلها يصله، ومن يقطعها يقطعه، لها لسان طلق ذلق يوم القيامة. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Musa ibn Ismail. Would remember that we had read a number of ahadith from this book from Musa ibn Ismail. He's Musa ibn Ismail At-Tabuzaki Abu Salama. قال حدثنا أبو عوانة. الإمام موسى أبو سلمة reported this hadith from Al-Wadah ibn Abdullah. He is the one who is called Abu Awana. We had read a hadith from him. And Uthman ibn al-Mughira. Uthman ibn al-Mughira is Abu al-Mughira. An Abi al-Anbas. Abu al-Anbas. Abu al-Anbas is Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi. We are mentioning this because of the rest of our brothers who have this book with these asanid. Abu al-Anbas is Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi. Rahimahullah, he is the tabi'i of this hadith. The tabi'i who reported this hadith from a companion is Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, who is called Abu al-Anbas. Qala, dakhaltu ala Abdullah ibn Amr fil wahti, ya'ni ardallahu bit-taif. Dakhaltu ala Abdullah ibn Amr. I came into the house, or I visited Abdullah ibn Amr, that is the eminent companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. We had mentioned them both a number of times in the ahadith connected to connecting family ties and being dutiful to the parents. We repeatedly mentioned that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had accepted Islam earlier before his father, and that the age barrier between the two of them was not more than 10. The age with which Amr ibn al-As was older than his son Abdullah was not more than 10 years old. So this tabi'i Abu al-Anbas visited Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As fil waqti at al-Wahf. Al-Wahf occurs in Ta'if, and it's the name of an area, a landed property that was belonging to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Some of the scholars have further described this landed property, that it has some trees and plants that were hardly found anywhere around the Arabian Peninsula, and that these trees and these plants were very expensive. People like to buy them and all of these. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Allah made him to become rich at the end of his life. We remember that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was of those who used to write down whatever the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, just like Abu Huraira. He was busy with writing down narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that people used to talk to him and say, why do you write all that you have heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Don't you know that he's a human being? He could have heard and all things like this. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As came and reported the case to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he told him that uktufu, write what I say. Write whatever you hear from me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْهُ. The Prophet pointed to his mouth and said, nothing will come out of it illa al-haq, except the truth. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was busy with learning and writing down reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the fitna broke out amongst the Muslims, he was not involved in fitna. He kept away. He avoided the fitna as much as he could. Radiyallahu anhu wa arda. So he had a landed property at Ta'if. Ta'if is not far away from Makkah. So when Abu al-Anbas visited Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As told him and taught him something that he had heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was very common amongst the non-Muslims. When a younger person visited the older one tried to benefit him with something from the religion. If a person visited his brother, he tried to give him issues of benefits, especially regarding his religion, in their discourses. But today, most of the times when we visit ourselves, we know the kinds of things that we talk about. But as for Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he wanted to educate Abu al-Anbas about something very, very important that he had learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he said, "Atafa lana al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam isba'ahu faqala." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his finger at us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was reporting these incidents regarding the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his finger at them, they, the companions, radiyallahu anhum, faqala. And then the Prophet said, "Ar-Rahimu shujnatun min ar-Rahman." This word, shujnatun, can be read as shijnatun. It can also be read as Shajnatun, and the three readings have the same meaning. It can be read as Shujnatun, it can be read as Shijnatun, it can also be read as Shajnatun. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ar-Rahimu, the ties of kinship itself, the connection between the members of a family, that connection, that connecting thing that brings the members of the kith and kin together. Shijnatun min ar-Rahman. The name is Ar-Rahim, and it actually refers to the womb, basically. But this name itself, Ar-Rahim, like we read in the previous hadith wherein Allah himself said, "Washtaqaqtu laha min ismi." I have derived a name for the ties of kinship from my name, Ar-Rahman. The same thing applies. Shajnatun lexically refers to, if we know a variously branching root, if you find the root of a plant that is variously branching, the root that is variously branching from one, you know, end and branches away variously, you see that the other branches take a root. They take a root, they take a derivation from the source root of that plant. So this is what a shajnatun means. So when it says shajnatun, that is, it takes a root. So ar-Rahim, this word ar-Rahim, the ties of kinship, shajnatun min ar-Rahman. It takes a root from the name of Allah ar-Rahman. So it's like the saying that we read from the previous hadith wherein Allah says, "Washtaqaqtu laha min ismi," and I have derived the name of Ar-Rahim from my name. The same thing applies here. Ar-Rahimu, the word Ar-Rahim, the ties of kinship. Shijnatun aw shujnatun aw shajnatun min Ar-Rahman. It takes its root word, its root meaning from Ar-Rahman, from the name of Allahu Ar-Rahman. That is why in hadith number 55, we will see that hadith reads, although it's from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, but in its expression and meaning, it is in the same category as this hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. You see, it says, "Shijnatun min Allah." So we can take the hadith number 54 and hadith number 55 together. It is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The both of them, in them, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, "Ar-Rahimu shijnatun min ar-Rahman." Ar-Rahim, the ties of kinship, takes the meaning of its root word from Allah's name, Ar-Rahman. So that's why here it says shijnatun min Allah. If you go to hadith number 55, it says shijnatun min Allah in the meaning of shijnatun min ismillahi ar-Rahman. That is, it's a root word from the name of Allah ar-Rahman. And we know in the text of the Quran and hadith, this word ar-Rahman and Allah, they are used interchangeably. That's why Allah told us in the Quran, قُلِ دُعُ اللَّهَ أَوِدُعُ الرَّحْمَنِ. So in the hadith of Aisha, it says, شِجْنَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ, instead of saying that شِجْنَةٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ, because in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah and الرَّحْمَن are used there interchangeably. So in that hadith of Aisha, شِجْنَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ, what it means is that what? شِجْنَةٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is the reason why some of the scholars say that apart from Allahu, which is a proper noun, and the lafz al-Jalala, the name of Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, another name of Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Ar-Rahman. Another name of Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Ar-Rahman. Basically, just like Allahu, it's basically and essentially a basic name regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some of the scholars, when they discuss the matters of Asma'ullahi and his as-sifat, they will tell us that all other names and attributes of Allah, all other asma and sifat, they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means we could say that all other names and sifat describe who? Ar-Rahman. All other names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they talk about Ar-Rahman. If we go to the Quran, we will see that that word Ar-Rahman, the name of Allah, is used in the same sense that the word Allah is used. This is what we have also found again in this hadith. But the point in this hadith is that the basic meaning of Ar-Rahim has taken its root. Allah has named Ar-Rahim. Allah himself has named the ties of kinship from his name, which is what? Ar-Rahman, absolutely compassionate, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that from the implications of that is that the basic thing about the ties of kinship is what? Compassion. The basic thing about the ties of kinship is what? Mercy, help, pity, being a person of favor, being a person of beneficence to other members that you are connected together with, that tie of kinship, Ar-Rahim. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ar-Rahimu shijnatun min Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, the ties of kinship itself, has derived its name from Allah's name, Ar-Rahman. Man yasiluha. This is the point of benefit here. Why Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has placed this hadith under this chapter at the heading, the benefit of connecting family ties. So the benefit of connecting family ties is that وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ. So it says, مَنْ يَصِلْهَا يَصِلْهُ. مَنْ يَصِلْهَا يَصِلْهُ. Whoever connects the ties of kingship, يَصِلْهُ الرَّحْمَانُ. Allah Ar-Rahman will connect that individual. And you see in the wording of the hadith of Aisha in hadith number 45, it says, Man wasalaha wasalahu Allah. So here it means, Man yasilha yasilhu Ar-Rahman. Whoever connects the ties of kinship, Allah, the absolutely merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, will connect this individual. And Allah's connecting individuals is not something that we can comprehend with our mind, because it is far, far beyond what the goodness you will show. If you show goodness, Allah will show goodness. Allah's showing goodness will be absolutely bounteous, will be absolutely expert, will be so, so great and incomparable to the goodness that you have shown. Have a reward for your own goodness that you show to the members of your family. Like we have said, the excuses that we usually have for not being good to the members of our family, we have shown that that is not an acceptable excuse in the Sharia. Most of the people give the excuse that if I'm nice to my family, they abuse me. If I'm nice to my family, they curse me. If I'm nice to my family, they direct evil to me. We have now known that it is not an excuse that is acceptable for not being kind and beneficial and favorable and kind and merciful to our kids and kin. All we have to do is to be sure that we are merciful and kind, and we show goodness to the members of our family. Why? Ar-Rahim Shijnatum min Ar-Rahman. The ties of kinship is something that has taken its root meaning from the name of Allah Ar-Rahman. Man yasilha yasilhu. Whoever connects it will be connected. This is the virtue that we seek to establish in this hadith. The virtue of connecting family ties is that when you connect family ties, Allah will connect you. When you are nice to your family, Allah will be nice to you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa man yaqta'aha yaqta'uhu. Man yaqta'aha yaqta'uhu. In the report of Aisha radiallahu anha in hadith number 55, it says, wa man qata'aha qata'ahu Allah. Whoever disconnects the family ties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disconnect that individual. So when you treat your family badly, don't expect goodness from Allah, because what you have done is no other than what you will get. What you have done is no other than what you will get. Like Allah told us in the Quran that ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ. Then certainly عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا, the end of those who direct evil, the end of those who commit evil and crime is what a soul evil, like the kind of evil that they had shown. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qata'aha qata'ahu Allah. Whoever disconnects the ties of kingship, Allah will disconnect that individual. In the report of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As in hadith number 44, it says, wa man yaqta'aha yaqta'ahu. Whoever disconnects it, that is the family ties, yaqta'ahu. He, Allah ar-Rahman, will also disconnect that individual. There's an addition in hadith number 54, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, in which he said, radiyallahu anhu, laha lisanun talqun zalqun yawm al-qiyamah. Laha lisanun talqun zalqun yawm al-qiyamah. It says that laha lisanun, that is ar-rahimu, the ties of kingship, laha lisanu, it will have a tongue, zalkun, fasihun, balighun, is what the ulama have explained these two words, laha lisanun, talqun. It will have a free tongue, talk. The tongue is free. It is not tied such that it cannot appropriately express itself. When a person has a tongue that is tied, he's not able to move his tongue properly. It will infringe upon his speech and what he says. But as for silatul rahim, as for the ar-rahim itself, laha lisanu, the ties of kingship will have a tongue on the day of Qiyamah, talqun. That tongue is free, so it is easy, it will speak easily, zalqun, and it will be very, very eloquent in its speech, yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah. What will it be saying? The ulama say, turidu haqqaha, it will be asking for its rights on the day of Qiyamah. Because Allah told us in the Quran, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, give your kids and kin their rights. This right itself, ar-Rahim, the ties of kinship, will come to ask for these rights on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah has given it, لِسَانٌ طَلْقٌ ذَلْقٌ, Allah has given it a free tongue that is not tied down, a tongue that is free to express itself, zalkun, and very, very eloquent on the day of Qiyamah. So if you think that you are eloquent, if you think that you are free at speech, you know what to say, you know how to cook up excuses, the rahim itself, the ties of kingship will be more eloquent than you will be. And it will ask you, why have you not discharged the rights of the ties of kingship? Why have you not given my rights? Why have you not fulfilled me? Why have you cut me off? Why have you done so? It will be asking for its rights on the day of Qiyamah. This is the explanation that the scholars have given to this expression that laha lisanun zalkun zalkun yawm al-qiyamah. The ties of kingship will have a tongue, zalkun, free, not tied down, zalkun, and that will be very, very eloquent, yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah. It's a hadith that is also close to this. Is another hadith that the Prophet said in it, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that ar-rahimu mu'allaqatun bil-arsh. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Ar-rahimu mu'allaqatun bil-arsh. The ties of kinship itself. Don't forget that it is a creature of Allah. The ties, and Allah does what He wills. The ties of kinship is a creature, and Allah does what He wills. The ties of kinship, this creature, mu'allaqatun bil-arsh. It is connected to Allah's arsh. It is tied to Allah's arsh. So what does it say? Taqulu man wasalani wasalahu Allah. Whoever connects me, Allah connects him. Wa man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. Whoever disconnects him, Allah disconnects him. Man wasalani wasalahu Allah. Oh Allah, disconnect those who disconnect me. Connect those who connect me. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهُ قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ قَطَعَنِي قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ And whoever disconnects me, Allah disconnects that individual. So you can see this one goes on now, مُعَلَّقَةٌ, because it is already tied to the arsh, to Allah's arsh, Allah's mighty throne. الْعَرْشُ الْمَجِيدِ It is tied, it is the mighty throne of Allah, عَظِيمُ It's the throne of Allah, subhanahu. So the Ar-Rahimu is tied to it. And it continues to say, Man wasalani, whoever connects me, wasalahu Allah. Allah connects him, or that person will be connected by Allah. Waman qata'ani, and whoever cuts me and disconnects me, qata'ahu Allah. Allah disconnects that individual too. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. So it means a major benefit from amongst the benefits of connecting family ties is that what? Allah will connect that individual. Allah will connect you. Allah will connect you. Allah will protect you. And then you will have fulfilled the command of Allah to give the rights of your king, Akif and king, to them. And then you'll be free from being asked on the day of Qiyamah by Ar-Rahim itself about Silatir Rahim. I hope that these points are clear regarding these ahadith. In the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, it says, Ar-Rahimu shijnatun min ar-Rahman, aw shujnatun, aw shajnatun min ar-Rahman. The ties of kingship takes its root meaning from Allah's name, ar-Rahman. Man yasilha, whoever connects it, yasilhu. Allah, ar-Rahman, connects the individual. Woman yaqta'ha, whoever would now disconnect the ties of kingship, yaqta'hu, Allah ar-Rahman will disconnect that individual. Laha lisanun talqun, ar-Rahimu, the ties of kingship has a tongue, talqun, free to speak, zalqun, and very, very eloquent and brilliant in his speech, yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be asking for its rights. Did you fulfill me? Did you fulfill me? Did you fulfill me? In the wording of Aisha radiallahu anha, it says in hadith number 55, Ar-Rahimu shujnatun min Allah. Ar-Rahimu, the ties of kingship, derives its name from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. Man wasalaha wasalahu Allah. whoever connects the ties of kinship, Allah will connect him. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever disconnects the ties of kinship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disconnect the ties of kinship. A point that deserves to be mentioned is that I think this is the first hadith we are reading from our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'minin, and the beloved wife of our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Siddiqa. She was Siddiqa, someone who was true to faith, and her father was Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Atiqullah. And she is the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this hadith was reported from her by Urwa ibn Zubayr, one of those who actually lived and grew up under Aisha radiallahu anha. Aba Yusuf.
Naam, ya Sheikhana, we can hear you, sir.
I think we can stop here, but I was just talking about our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. The more I began to talk about her, the more I felt interested in talking about her radiallahu anha. Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha. She was so valuable to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the sight of Allah. And even before she was married to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he had seen her in her dream. And he got married to her alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet got married to her, and revelation would not come to any woman, would not come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the room of any woman except our mother Aisha. And she was so beloved to him, so beloved to him. There's a story with Amr ibn al-As. I think we can mention that because today we are reading the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the father of Abdullah Amr. He was so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that the Prophet used to say that Aslam an-nas wa aman am. The people accepted Islam, but it was Iman that Amr accepted. Radiallahu anhu, Amr ibn al-As. So he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said, and as was known, and as was clear from the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was, yarhamukallah, that was after the Prophet had been the person that he hated most, Amr ibn al-As. But when he accepted Islam, the Prophet said, not just about Islam, it was Iman that he accepted, Amr ibn al-As. That was why shortly after he accepted Islam and became a Muslim, the Prophet sent him to lead an army on a battle, Amr ibn al-As. So the Prophet drew him so close, Amr ibn al-As, because he was very prominent. And don't forget, his son Abdullah was the person who recorded everything the Prophet was saying, just like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So Amr ibn al-As thought that I am the most beloved person to the Prophet now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, because the Prophet drew him so close after he became a Muslim. So one day he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of the rest of the companions, Ya Rasulallah, man ahabbu nas ilayk? O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved of the people to you? He wanted the people to hear the Prophet to say that he was the one, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anha. And the Prophet said, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Because that question was general, who is the most beloved of the people to you? The Prophet answered, alayhi salatu wasalam, Aisha, radiallahu anha. And then Amr ibn al-As was a very, very intelligent companion, very learned, very well traveled, and very well exposed. So he thought that maybe he had not asked the question correctly. So he rephrased the question, radiallahu anha, and said, Min al-rijal, amongst men, because Aisha was a woman, amongst men, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abuha, her father, that is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. So you would see how beloved Aisha, radiallahu anha, was to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the one who has reported hadith number 55. And the point of reference from that hadith number 55 is that we should pay good attention to connecting family ties. When we connect family ties, Allah will connect us. And those people who disconnect family ties, Allah will disconnect them. We beg Allah to protect us from this evil. I think we can stop here and go on straight away to the question and answer session and the break that we had had.
Now, jazakum Allah khairan, ya Shaykhana.
Ameen wa antum Aba Yusuf.
Now, this question says, if one has a family that being too close to them can have negative effects on our deen, can we move far from them but still continue to do good to them?
Yes, we can. Some of the scholars have explained that if you have a family that are so influential on you and they have very big effects, such that if you live so close to them, that effect will begin to affect negatively the religion of that individual. In fact, one of the scholars said that silatul rahim here will be to distance yourself from them while you still try to connect the ties of kinship. Some of the scholars have said that in that aspect, what you need to do is keep yourself away from them as much as you need to be able to protect your religion, while after that, you also try to connect them after your religion is stable, or as you try to stabilize your religion, you connect them in such a way that they will not have any such serious influence on you and upon your religion. This one happens a great deal. A man would hate, a father would hate that his child wore a face veil, and then he took her for an enemy. And then he begins to chastise her. Even when she becomes married, he begins to chastise both the husband and the wife. Even those who do not even wear face veil suffer this when their commitment to religion becomes so increased. So people suffer all kinds of torture and all of these. Such an individual can move away from that kind of an environment, especially if you are an adult and you have a safe place guaranteed that when you move to that kind of an environment, you will not be under the same influence negatively regarding your religion from your parents. Then you can move to a safer place, inshallah, while you still try to connect the ties of kinship. In any case, we should not disconnect completely from our families. Allahu alam.
Can we pay zakat to members of the family?
Imam Bukhari discussed something related to that in this book. Inshallah, we'll come back to that when we move ahead in this book, inshallah.
This one says, a sister isn't doing enough for her daughter to know the family of her divorced husband because they treated her badly. Is this a reason not to tie kinship?
That's not a reason. A woman who has been married became divorced, and then the children from the first husband who was treating her badly, according to this question, he still deserves that as a man, his children should know his family. And the children themselves, they have that right upon the woman not to protect them from knowing those with whom they are connected by kinship. That's the reason why from the very beginning, I didn't want to bring the issues of a husband and a wife in this matter of connecting family ties. We will come back to the issues of a husband and a wife at a later time. But what we are discussing now is a man and his family, and then a woman and her own family. The woman as a daughter, like I emphasized yesterday, the woman as a sister, and then the woman as a mother. Those are the people we are talking about now. The woman as a wife, inshallah, will be discussed in other sections of this book. But a woman who became divorced from a first husband has no right to prevent the children from knowing their families and the relatives of the first husband that she has had, because the connection she had with that man is a different connection with the children and that man. The connection of the child to her father is a different connection. There's a connection of family ties. The connection between a man and a woman is a connection of marriage. We agree upon a contract to come together. That is a man and his wife. Upon the terms as agreed upon by the two of us in Islam as Muslims, that is upon the terms of the Sharia. That is what a man and his wife will live upon when they agree to marry. But the relationship between a child and his father or her father, the relationship between a child and his uncle or her uncle is one of birth, is one of sila to rahim. This second one is stronger than the first one. So no woman should employ a marriage that she went to by contract. This connecting a child who had come from the same womb, who was the child of a father from her brothers, her stepbrothers, or her uncles, the child's uncles, the child's brothers, the child's relatives, they should not be disconnected, because the relationship between those children and her father's relatives is a relationship by Ar-Rahim. It is stronger than the relationship between that woman and her husband that she had severed relationship with. So she should not, out of jealousy, now protect and prevent the innocent young children from getting connected to their own source and their foundation. I hope that the matter is clear, inshallah.
No, Jazakumullah khairan,
Shaykh. Ameen, wanti.
This question is a bit not related to the class, huh?
Okay, we can ask it and then stop at that, inshallah.
Okay, it's about giving things to people at place of work, gifts during this season, giving it to our workers. Is it part of celebrating Christmas?
If you are a Muslim, you don't need to ask this kind of a question. If you are a Muslim, as a Muslim owner of a workplace, you don't need to ask this question. Because certainly what people do these times, what offices do and places of work do these times, is that they give those gifts to those people by way of helping them to celebrate the Christmas. So if you do that as a Muslim, it has no other meaning. It has no other meaning. If you do that as a Muslim, you give to your workers in the place of work gifts in these times, it has no other meaning other than that you want to help them to be able to celebrate something Allah is displeased with. It has no any other meaning. So if you are a Muslim who has people working under you, you should do a company policy that this company does not give Christmas gifts or end of year gifts, whatever name you want to call it. Is a gift to help them celebrate what they are upon. You can fix your own gifts at another time. You can say middle of the year is the time that in this office we'll be giving gifts at the middle of the year, not at the end of the year. Why should this be end of the year? Is there a convention? Is there a law? So, but what you find is a convention, and that convention is a Christian biased convention and stereotype that a Muslim should not fall for or fall into. May Allah protect us from that. I think we can stop here, Abba Yusuf. I hope that we'll get the clearer version, inshallah, when our brothers send the recorded version of this class. And we had intended to read from two chapters today, but qadarullahi wa masha'a fa'ala. We beg Allah to make what we have read so far beneficial to those reading it to us and the rest of us who are listening to it and asking questions. May Allah forgive our shortcomings and make us better in our religion, make us meet Him while He had forgiven us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan ya shaykh.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan.